FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from Saturday night's big FA Cup tie with Doncaster Rovers. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with some midweek league action as FC United put in one of the performances of the season with a fine 3-1 win over second place Warrington Town on Tuesday night.
Morris and his centre-back role this evening, long ball forward, Fowler waits, but it's easily mopped up at the back there by Regan, as now Trey Pemberton trying to put Amado under pressure. Amado, and then Donoghue gets on the end of it. Pemberton, Amado does well there, and Luke Duffy through, and now Jordan Buckley again as Jones hairs across here, but and that's going to be a penalty surely.
Oh, challenge that, I thought.
And that's Aaron Morris with a clumsy challenge there. And, Jones was tripping over as he tried to get round. And I think Morris, well, he's remonstrating with the referee, but there clearly was contact there. And a chance here for Bohan Dixon to give Warrington an early lead here in the 6th minute.
So it's been a good start for Warrington and a poor start for FC.
Lavercum stands between Bohan Dixon and a 1-0 lead for Warrington. Dixon forward. Oh, he puts it over the bar. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Not even working the keeper there, Bohan Dixon. Don't know whether no excuse really. The ball over the bar and almost wide as well as being over. So FC get out of jail moment. The score remains 0-0. 8 minutes gone, 0-0. Curtis Jones. Simpson plays it out to Dodd, back to Jones. AFC deep in their own territory. Simpson again, back to Jones.
I think we just need to try and keep hold of the ball for 20 or 30 seconds now before we do anything rash.
There's a long ball there from Simpson out to the right hand side. Donoghue takes it on his thigh and then brings it infield, still inside his own territory. Flicks it through, nice ball. Ennis now, he's got Pemberton making a run to his right, but the ball fit. Sinclair Smith, does it cross the line? Yes, it does. It's a goal at FC United. Some fine work there down the right flank there. Pemberton was involved, and Sinclair seized upon that chance, and it goes over the line. And FC United, having had a penalty save there by Lavercum, are into the lead. We move into the 9th minute.
It's a great move, that really good play from FC. First shot on target, 1-0 up.
Long ball forward by Regan. Donoghue nods it centre field, a bit risky that. And a chance here for Moreau. Well, he tried to throw it through, hoping that Jordan Buckley was making a run, I think, but not on the same wavelength there. And FC bring it out of defence now. Dodd left-hand side. On the turn is Griffiths, and now Simpson spreads it out to the right hand side. Now the ball is with Morris. Morris, square ball to Jones, still deep inside FC territory.
Dangerous that from FC. It feels like we're inviting pressure on ourselves.
There's a slip then. This will be a treacherous pitch, and we've just seen an example of that with Griffiths. And the ball comes across to Bohan Dixon. Good intervention, but it's a great shot by Duffy. And although Lavercum got two hands to it, it goes in, and Warrington with a quick response here on 14 minutes and Charlie Ennis is going to take this corner from the left-hand side, and FC will want something to show for this pressure. Played back there to Dodd, and that will be another corner. So, short corner not really working out there, but FC getting another set play from it. 5-6 red shirts in the middle. Cross comes in, floated invitingly, and it's a goal from Curtis Jones. It grazed the head of a Warrington defender. Excellent delivery from Charlie Ennis. That just skims off the head of the Warrington player, and Curtis Jones, great composure there to slide that to the keeper's left. FC 2, Warrington Town 1.
Yeah, great corner from Ennis, and Curtis Jones scores against Warrington again.
Be a long ball down the line. Fowler will go up, but Amado wins it. Duffy now trying to control it. Great work from Donoghue there. Superb work from him as he blasts through here, Donoghue. Can he get a left foot shot in? Great defending, but Sinclair Smith will try and get on the end of this. He'll shoot, and he scores! And it's 3-1. Well, what a strike from Sinclair Smith, and what a sequence there. Excellent work from Donoghue. Possession was lost. Bailey with the header out there, but it wasn't decisive enough there, and Sinclair Smith pounced on it and blasted into the top corner with his right foot, and FC United into a 3-1 lead.
Amazing finish that from Smith, and he's definitely deserved a goal. I think he's played really well at times this first half, and FC with a 3-1 lead, which you wouldn't have thought after that first period of the game.
Commiserations to Warrington. Paul Carden, you know, built a great side there. We knew we'd have to be our very best tonight. You know, they're going to be right up there come the end of the season, so that's an incredible win. Like you said, they missed the penalty, you know, they then missed a chance, but then we just got all of the game, and some of the movement, some of our patterns of play in the first half were a joy to watch. And that's when I talk about being brave on the football, getting it in good areas, receiving it in good areas, and then having the ability to play and get out. And I just thought we were exceptional. You know, we thoroughly deserved our lead at half time. We said to the lads, obviously Warrington are going to come and have a go, and they did. But we stood tall, and then, you know, halfway through the second half the game changed slightly. But my captain tonight, Paul Ennis, I could hear him, you know, organising things, creating our shape, talking about game management, and I just thought we were exceptional, as good as the first half, to be honest. You know, when you manage a game, you've got a bit of an onslaught. Jones and Morris were, you know, colossal tonight, and then you throw Chaddy on for, you know, the last 5 minutes, and that's not a cameo, that's to, you know, steal up the back line, and he was great.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to Tim on Tuesday evening following his side's 3-1 victory over Warrington Town. And following that win, it was announced that the league season will be temporarily suspended for a month due to COVID restrictions. However, FC United were given temporary elite club status to ensure their FA Cup clash with Doncaster Rovers could still go ahead. The match, however, would be played behind closed doors, and at Friday's press conference, Ben asked FC midfielder Charlie Ennis what effect no crowd in attendance could have on the team.
Obviously, there's a big difference. But as a player, you've just got to try and switch off that mentality and just have the same, you know, the same focus, regardless if the fans are there or not. Obviously, that is difficult. And when we are at home, you'd like to think that the fans give us that extra 10% or 15% in your legs when you're tired, and, you know, to spur you on. You've seen with our home record that it does play a big impact on our performances. But like I said, as a professional or a semi-professional footballer, you've just got to try and go into the game knowing what you've got to do, regardless of the fans there or not, and just make sure that you're 100% switched on.
And obviously you've been involved in non-league football for a while, let's say. What's it like playing on these occasions where you're having to take on Football League opposition?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I was just saying to the gaffer earlier, I think this is the third time that I've reached the first round proper. And make no mistake about it, as a footballer who works well, these are the moments that you're waiting for all your career. So you've just got to make sure that as players and as teammates that we just grasp that opportunity and not let it, you know, not freeze, not let it bypass us. But yeah, don't get me wrong, these are the days that we work tirelessly towards, and it might not be as a professional that important to play in the first round proper, but as a non-league footballer, then the massive days.
FC United midfielder Charlie Ennis there speaking at Friday afternoon's press conference. And to judge the mood in the camp more generally heading into the game, on Friday night's MPL show, Ben caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds to hear his thoughts on this big game for the club.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And obviously, we're on the eve of a big game tomorrow against Doncaster Rovers. What's the mood in the camp like?
I mean, you say big, Ben. You know, for me personally, for this current squad, it's the biggest game that we've been involved in. So you can imagine the excitement levels. You can also imagine the nervousness around the place as well. In terms of how the lads have prepared, we're prepared exactly the same way. We're obviously on the back of a great performance and win against Warrington. We trained well last night. We had a team meeting after training. And the lads have, got round each other today and, just spent a bit of time with each other to get ready for tomorrow. I've had the fortunate experience of being at the ground today and seeing the astronomical amount of work that's gone on to the place, not just from, obviously, the TV crew with all the LED boards and the new gantry stand, etc., but the fans that have been in to redesign the stadium with flags, helping around, cleaning the place up for tomorrow. It's been so impressive. And I know, going back to your first question, what's the morale like with the squad? When they walk into this place tomorrow, they will not know what's it to, it's literally transformed. And, for me, it's just another massive thank you to the incredible people that are the fans of FC United.
Because that's the trick, isn't it? Because obviously FC United have moved for this game, like South Shields and Marine have, you've moved from non-elite to elite now, and that means no crowd. So it's kind of a lot of work's gone in behind the scenes to fill that void as best the club can.
There hasn't, we've talked at length, and I've talked to different people at length about the complication of which is elite and not elite football. For me, you can say whatever you want. People could question all day long. This is an elite football club. Should be playing in the National League North. The season, how it ended last season, should have given us the opportunity to progress, and it didn't. We've shown, along with South Shields, that there was a reason why we finished 1-2 last season, and both teams have made it through to the first round proper. So try and tell the South Shields and FC United and Manchester that we're not an elite side. But obviously the government have a category. The FA have a category of teams, and it's kind of when it suits, Ben. It feels as though that we're in the FA competition and we're flying the flag for the Northern Premier League and non-league football. This weekend we're elite, and then if we win, we've got to go back to kind of that non-elite status and train Tuesday, Thursday and get ourselves ready for an FA Cup second round in 3 weeks with no competitive football. So, it's difficult, and that's what, it's got to be weighed up. If we're elite or you want us to be elite 1 week, then surely your contribution should be made financially to the football club, which would be very welcome, as we belong to Scarborough and South Shields that are built on fan-based models. But we're not, but then all of a sudden they want us to be elite. So it's difficult. And what I've got to do, Ben, is protect my players from that, because this is just football for us. The political shenanigans that sits behind it is obviously sits a lot higher than what we do. But I know that there's consistent voices across the pyramid that are saying the same things. And we've just got to get on with it. We've got to get on with it. We will not let that distract us from, like I said, one of the biggest days in the club's history. The biggest day, certainly my short tenure in the club, and certainly the biggest game in a lot of the players' history as well.
And obviously there's been a lot made about FC United rising to the occasion every 5 years or so. And without fail, you've got FC United to the first round here, 5 years after Chesterfield and 10 years after Rochdale. FC fans will remember Bonfire Night in 2010 and quite an atmosphere, 4,000 people there at Spotland, just from an FC perspective. It is a shame, but that you've got that support certainly in the round chairs back home.
Ben, I didn't know until a couple of weeks ago, somebody gave me the statistic about, born in 05, Rochdale and Brighton in 10 and Chesterfield in 15 and now Donny Rogues in 20. What has taken me back is, going back 2 years when, people were telling me the club wasn't in a great place and we needed to do a lot of work behind the scenes. Let me tell people that are listening, this is the most amazing football club with amazing volunteers, amazing fans. And, whatever's gone on before that, we can't change. The club's had a great history in such a short space of time, and you take your hat off to Carl Margeson and the squad and people who have worked on the board before that. I walked into a situation that we needed to rebuild, and I made a promise that we'll rebuild and we have to go backwards to come forwards. But make no bones about it, though, people say there wasn't togetherness here and don't touch your job. There is bundles of togetherness here, and we're all singing off the same hymn sheet, whether or not it's the media side or the volunteers or the club shop or the people who make the drinks and the pies, whatever it is, putting the flags up, we're all together and we're all rooting for the same cause, which is, you know, FC United of Manchester. So for the fans back home tomorrow, you know, like I said, I'm devastated. You know, I feel I've got such a connection with these fans, and it won't be the same walking out tomorrow. And I'll still walk out, and I will still clap because I'll be clapping the people back home. Somebody said, "Give us a team to be proud of," and I hope that. Well, I know, but I hope even more that, you know, the fans back home in their armchairs or wherever you are watching it across the world tomorrow, that you're super proud of this team. You know, I'm extremely proud of them. I'm extremely proud of my management team, but I'm, you know, just proud to be part of FC United Manchester. And, you know, we're back on the map, and we're not here to make up numbers tomorrow. You know, we're going to give it a really good go. And if come quarter to eight tomorrow night, the result goes against us, we've been beaten by the better side. But, you know, I'm a big believer. I'm an optimist. And, you know, if we turn up and potentially, you know, they don't turn up with their A game, who knows what can happen? That's the magic of the FA Cup. But, you know, just to kind of get behind us, and I know you will do. You know, loads of work's gone into this week with the flags and songs that are going to be played tomorrow. So we'll try and give people another opportunity to come and see this side play the FA Cup. Because in a few weeks' time, you never know, we might have had a reversal on crowds, etc. So just keep cheering us on, and we'll do what we can do.
And finally, Neil, from a footballing point of view as well, it's been quite a fortnight. You know, obviously you play guys there, a fantastic result there, a great game of football away at South Shields. Obviously, South Shields got the win in that one, but that could have gone either way. In all fairness, the Mask game, the great win against Warrington midweek. Can't really say you're not match sharp. That's for sure. Is there a benefit to that in a way? Because if the players aren't going to be up for this game, they'll never be up for a game of football.
I still go back to the point, despite winning in midweek, I still go back to the point that I believe the league should have stepped in and given the likes of Marine, South Shields and ourselves grace and preparation time. You know, albeit we got the 3 points. You can't underestimate what 90 minutes takes about your legs, and it does. So we've had to, you know, be really meticulous in our approach and get people, you know, back up and running. You know, in terms of the games, I think we've had a really good start, a really tough start to the season, and we've played a lot of really good sides, and that included Mars last week when we didn't perform to our potential. But, you know, with all good sides, you come and bounce back, and we play well at South Shields. Well, the guys in the rim, we play well at South Shields, and you get beat. Not great against Mars, and then you know, do you question the character? No, not at all, because this side know how to bounce back, and they did that in fashion against Warrington on Tuesday night, which sent us into Thursday with a real bounce. And now everyone can't wait. You know, we just cannot wait. So, yes, we're match sharp, but even if you have got heavy legs and tired legs, I just think the adrenaline takes you through tomorrow. And when, you know, when you pose that statistic that, you know, potentially 1.5 million to 2 million people are going to be watching you back on, the stadium's designed in such a way there's a second round opportunity, you're playing against a League One side, you know, whichever way you want to say it, these lads will be up for the game tomorrow. And, you know, I just hope that everyone associated with the club enjoys it. You know, we'd like to wish Doncaster Rovers all the best as well. But tomorrow, come 5:30, we'll be doing everything we can do to progress in this historic competition.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to Ben on Friday night's MPL show. In other news, and before Saturday's game, Tim caught up with skipper Michael Potts, and FC's club captain revealed that the players will be donating their FA Cup bonuses back to the club.
Not everybody knows this, but the players actually got together and went to Renault and Paul Smith.
Yeah.
And you've actually said that you're going to give all your bonus money back to the club.
Yeah, no, definitely, especially because of obviously before last season when we got locked down, and the club obviously paid us a month's wage when we didn't play a game, and that was a great gesture from the club. So we just wanted to repay that favour, really, and just say, look, any bonus money we win at the moment, we want to give it all back to the club just to help us out at the moment. So we don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 months or 4 months. We might not be allowed fans back, you never know. And it's just that chance to keep the money in the club and be able to keep running everything.
Oh, it's a superb gesture. It's the big day's finally arrived. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the draw was made nearly 2 weeks ago now. Yeah. What were your feelings when you saw that Doncaster had been pulled?
Yeah, just excited, really. Obviously, the draw was a great night as well, because you're really looking to play anyone, really. It's the FA Cup, and Doncaster, a great club. I think they're top six at the moment in League One, so it's a tough opposition. So, but yeah, no, just you want to test yourself against the best, don't you? So it's a great opportunity for us.
FC United captain Michael Potts there speaking before Saturday's match with Doncaster. And to hear about how the club has prepared Broadhurst Park for the fixture and the BBC cameras, Ben caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds. But first, here's board member Adrian Seddon.
Well, Adrian, here we are, 2 hours before kickoff. What's your thoughts?
There's two thoughts for me. The first one's excitement. And the second one, you can't get away from the disappointment that, you know, we're not going to have our fans in here. I'm not going to have my daughter with me. And I know a lot of familiar faces that won't be here today. So it's a mixture of the two. You know, the excitement's really building, but at the back of my mind there's still that feeling that, of regret that we can't get the people in the ground.
That's just the circumstances where we are. But in the week, some volunteers have come along and the SMRE looks spectacular with all them banners up.
Yeah, it's a testament to our fans, isn't it, that they can't come in, but they've come in their numbers yesterday and put the flags up. And, you know, this ground should have 4,500 people bouncing. It can't have any of those, but it can have flags everywhere. And I think, you know, it's going to look fantastic on television. And yeah, it's going to really showcase the club for what it is. There's some fantastic flags that we haven't seen for a while that have come back out for the occasion. And I think we're really putting a statement out with them.
Yeah, good stuff. Obviously, the BBC are here as well, and it's a lot of attention for the club this week. It's come at the right time, I feel, given where we are with COVID.
Yeah, I've been banging a drum for the last few months that we've been abandoned a bit as a grassroots club. And I think for us today, I really do feel that we're waving a flag for grassroots. It's not just for our club, it's for those under eights that play in the park, it's for the county leagues, the pub football teams, it's for the North West Counties, the NPL, all the clubs that are, you know, in hibernation now. We don't really understand why football can't be played at the moment. We've been told we can't play football, but there's just a few clubs that have been allowed to carry on with the elite. And for as long as we can keep it going, we want to keep it going. We want to keep the grassroots flag flying.
Much attention on the club. What's your feelings for today? Because, you know, thoughts go back to Chesterfield, wanting the outcome we wanted. But then 10 years ago this week, we had Rochdale.
Listen, I think as a non-league club playing in the first round of the FA Cup, the usual script is that you put up a good show, but you lose. And we had that, I think, with Chesterfield. I think with Chesterfield we came up against a better team. There was no disgrace in 4-1. I think it was a good game of football, but they were, you know, the league team, as you expect, wins. 10 years ago, it was the other way around. It was maybe Rochdale underestimated us a bit, maybe from 1 to 11, and the subs bench all played the game of their lives. And we won, and we won and deserved to win. And then we went to Brighton, and we could so easily have won at Brighton. OK, we hang on at the end, we're saving a penalty. So we've had the two cup runs, and we've had the two different scenarios. You know, the one that's the usual one with the non-league team losing, and the one where the non-league team pulls off the upset. And there's always one that pulls off the upset. And why not us today?
Well, Neil, match day, here we are.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts now you've turned up?
Seems to be a long time coming. You know, since doing the press conference yesterday, you know, getting ourselves ready and, you know, kind of continually checking on the players and the staff. Strange that we're not kicking off at 3 o'clock, but we're here now. You know, the talking externally is now done. You know, it's for me to do the talking internally with the squad now and get ready for 5:30 kickoff. I've got to say that, you know, super impressed. You know, I turned up yesterday and it was good. Now with the LED boards and, you know, the gantry and all the flags, it's absolutely incredible. So, you know, it does move you as soon as you walk in, but at the end of the day, it's a game of football and we're here to play football.
A lot of attention. You've been on Match of the Day Kickabout, so you're on Football Focus, GMR, you're on everything. And straight after the game, you're going to be on the BBC too.
Someone joked about it today, saying every time I turn the TV on, you're there. And I was like, right, OK. But yeah, you know, we've got the schedule today as well. I've got an interview before the game at 5:20, one at half time, one after the game. But, you know, you've got to soak it up. It's, you know, it's really exciting. It's great for the football club. You know, we are on the map. We're firmly on the map now. I just hope come 5:30 today we can show what we're about, because we're a good footballing side. And, you know, I know Doncaster are, you know, leagues above us. But I hope there's parts of the game that we can show, you know, our class and how good we are. And like I said, just give a good account of ourselves. And that's all we ask for. But I've got to just say thank you for all the publicity that we've had from everywhere. You know, we're doing something right at the football club. You know, people are talking about us for the right reasons, and people want to be associated to us. And, you know, talking to the guy from the BBC yesterday, and when you talk about non-league football, he couldn't believe the ground, you know, non-league football ground. This is a league football ground, and it just makes you honoured and privileged even more to manage this club.
So, hello, everybody. Obviously, the TV gantry is taken tonight. The BBC are here, and therefore, we're in the main stand. And it wouldn't be home without James Quinn being here. So, hello, James.
Good afternoon, everyone.
You've not been part of our two-hour build-up broadcast. What's your thoughts heading into this?
I think it's all about the first period of the match and FC not conceding. If you think of the contrast, the successful year 10 years ago when FC prevailed at Rochdale and got that great draw at Brighton, they didn't score early on. And 5 years ago, when we hosted Chesterfield. They got a couple of early goals, and it's very hard after that. And if FC get a chance early on, they've just got to take it. You often see chances arise and then the pressure builds up. But I hope that Neil will have got the players in the right frame of mind to play the game and not the occasion. As they say, it's very interesting, the formation that he's chosen.
Yeah, shall we get to that? Because it is a weird one. The starting 11 for FC United tonight: Lavercum, Donoghue, Dodd, Griffiths, Doyle, Jones, Ennis, Potts the captain, back in the team, as is Linney, Simpson and Smith. Paul, no recognised striker in that?
No. The suspicion is that Linney is possibly going to be the furthest forward with support. It's going to be very interesting. It looks to us like a counter-attack style, where they're going to try and draw them out and hit them on with pace on the counter. To me,
Neil actually came up here and had a yeah, chat with you and Keg.
Yes, I think the thinking is to have a solid three in the middle, as you would expect, and then for Sinclair, Smith, Linney to play either side of Charlie Ennis. Charlie Ennis at the front of a kind of triangle, stroke diamond.
So it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I was talking to Woods, though, and it'll be off earlier, and we were saying, the team that played against Mask, the team that played against Warrington midweek, the chances are it's not going to be the same team tonight. Does that give us a bit of a surprise factor to Doncaster?
I think they've watched us, and I think they've presumably been slightly wrong-footed.
Because I've never seen that formation from us.
They may have at the moment, they might be slightly wrong-footed. But being the League One side, I'm sure they'll be focusing on themselves more than anything else.
And the thing we have to say, James, is Neil was at pains to say we play this formation in training all the time. It's almost like it's his ace up his sleeve. Yeah, really.
That's right, and it's something they do in training all the time, and he's picked the players that he thinks will operate that system. He's got a really strong bench today of options, should he need them.
Are you surprised that... Well, we are surprised about Fowler and Coquelin, either one of them not being in the team. What about Aaron Morris, though? I mean, Donoghue, though, had a stormer Tuesday night.
I think that would have been a dilemma for him, but let's face it, as you just said, Michael Donoghue dropping back from midfield to play right back. He has done it before, but he was particularly effective. And I think that he's such a skillful player. He's been such an important part of the season. We've given him several Man of the Match awards in the league games. And I think the combination of those factors, nothing to do, I think, with Aaron Morris, although he did give away a clumsy penalty the other day, but when he played centre-back. But I think the great news for FC is that that Doyle is back, because he has been immense at times in that centre-back role.
It's not just Doyle back, is it? Potts back.
I mean, equally important.
I mean, it was quite in the stands, and it was also quite on the pitch. Having your captain back for this game is...
He's a driving organiser, isn't he, Potts? And when he's not there, it's not quite the same.
2 years, seasons ago, when FC dropped out of the National League North, I've no doubt that if Potts had been playing all the way through that, I think FC could have just stayed up, you know, because you know he's Neil Reynolds' man on the field. He's kind of a bit like Roy Keane was to Alex Ferguson, that thing of, you know, he personifies what the manager wants. So I think it's such a relief from an FC point of view that he's back in the lineup.
How much of a relief is it that Linney's back as well? Because Linney's
been missed.
We talk about Potts being pivotal to Neil Reynolds. Linney was one of Neil's first signings from Bamber Bridge. Yeah. I mean, he's played an integral part of this setup.
Yeah, he fits in so well into what the manager wants, and when he's having one of his better days, he can be devastating, Regan Linney. And it's a great occasion for all these players to go out and show the nation and the world, really, how good they are. It can make a player's career at the FA Cup when you're on TV.
Absolutely.
The other player who I want to talk about is Sinclair Smith. Now, Swampy reminded me of the FA Cup run 10 years ago and how important Carlos Rocca was and getting there with the Barrow goal. Rocca was important in that. Sinclair Smith has suddenly... started to show the promise that everyone thought he'd have when he arrived.
He's in a purple patch now. He's beating players. He's finding space. He's scoring goals. He's become a first choice in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and he wasn't that before. But now, you can't leave him out, and that says it all, really.
Another player we've not mentioned, James, is Luke Griffiths, and obviously suspension starts for the second round of the FA Cup in 3 weeks' time.
Hopefully,
Luke Griffiths on Song is just such a a beautiful player to watch. He just he operates, he controls the midfield almost. He, so much comes through him from defence.
And how important is Jordan Simpson in all this as well? He's been pretty good since he's popped in.
Absolutely brilliant. Came on in that difficult game and difficult conditions. I think the Guiseley game didn't really have an impact, but he's been super. He looks a player. So I think Pemberton, who's on the bench, is another one who really looks like a player, if you know what I mean. He's got those skills. He's a Stoke loanee. But Simpson, I think, a lot of authority, composure, time, those things that you need and will need today.
Well, I think the teams are about to come out. So, without further ado, this is FC Live brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this evening's game. It's Stato Paul, Roy Sewell, everyone. But first, James Quinn.
Pace is one weapon FC have, and that's important that they try and use that. But Potts is dispossessed. Disciplined work from Doncaster, an overlap here. Halliday using great speed. Halliday in the clear. Real chance now for him. Puts it across, and Akinberry just taps it home. And FC undone there. And, well, lot of possession lost and a really quick break there. They knew exactly what they were doing, what they wanted to do. And Halliday gives Doncaster the lead.
And to be honest, you could see it coming, you know, as regards the run of Halliday was absolutely tremendous. I mean, he made something like a 30-yard run down this right-hand side, got onto the outside of Dodds, and then after that, it was just a matter of what he was going to do with it at the end. Was he going to shoot at goal himself? But instead, what he did was he laid the ball across, and then the ball was just fired into the net, an empty net virtually, you know, so really well-worked goal.
Halliday bringing it forward. Oh, good. Well, it was a decent.
Oh,
but the flag stay, and FC stopped playing there. And Whiteman to make it two. And novice's error, surely, from FC United. They stopped playing because centre forward Ockenberry stopped. But, well, Whiteman continued his run, and it's 2-0.
Yeah, they played for the offside, and the man who was running offside. It didn't matter because it didn't go anywhere near him.
Yeah.
And it was left a massive hole through the middle.
No one tracked the runner, did they? You know, at the end of the day, that was someone's man, and you've got to look at your central midfield players. Someone has to go with him.
Well, we played 29 minutes here. Doncaster with a two-goal advantage. Coppinger, good-looking delivery. Doyle gets ahead on it. And then Ennis clears his lines. James.
Well,
oh, great work from Lenny! Lenny now, he's got a chance to be one-on-one. Can he score? Yes, he can! A superb goal! Brilliant opportunism there from Regan Lenny. And you've just got to give him 10 out of 10 there, Regan Lenny. He hurried out there. He took it off the toe of the Doncaster player, kept his composure and slid it past the keeper. It's 2-1.
Very reminiscent, I've got to say this, of the Man United goal conceded. Yeah. You know, where he ran from within his own half and just shot off there like a bullet out of a gun. And basically, his composure, the way he picked the ball into the bottom corner of the net was quality.
It just shows you, as the last man, it doesn't matter what level you play at.
No.
If you get caught, you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Linney having a great game now, winning possession back. Now it's back with Doyle on the halfway line, out to the left-hand side, and a bit of a spring now in FC's step. Griffiths on the halfway line. Long ball forward.
No.
Too close to the keeper.
The ball was on, just a little bit too straight.
And FC got to be a bit exposed here on the left-hand side, and Sims comes in. Two in the middle for him to aim up, and Sims brings it right to the box. Sims shoots.
Oh.
And it's a deflected goal. But FC surely committing too many men forward there and being totally exposed at the back.
Well, a little bit of that, but also backing off too quickly. They need to delay, you know, the play, the forward play, the advanced play. Delay it, delay it, delay it. Don't just jog straight back and concede the space that's in front of them.
Well, that ball played out there and space for Sims. Right-hand side this time, and there's space here. And it's a chance for Coppinger, and 4-1 now. Deflection again, I think. But FC undone again, and it's now 4-1 to Doncaster. And FC, despite some spirited play in the last 10 minutes or so, now facing a real task, Roy.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be a task, but they just need, like I say, keep at the task, keep going, show self-belief, help one another out. You get under the goal, 4-2 gives you that little bit of encouragement. And to be honest, you know, if Doncaster get a little bit of, shall we say, complacency coming in the game, then there's your opportunity.
Doyle is under a bit of pressure now. He's got two Doncaster players around him. It's a poor clearance. Smith could try a shot. He could play it out to the left-hand side to Sims. Trouble here for FC. Sims shoots. And another deflected goal. Can you believe it? Well, FC, authors of the round downfall, but bad luck with the deflection. But FC squandering possession in a dangerous area. And it's now 5-1 to Doncaster and the league side moving out of sight. I think when this ball goes out into the atmosphere, he'll blow his whistle.
Yeah.
Well, FC have given a resourceful performance in this second half. They're going 5-1 down. Could have got a lot worse, but they've done well. And there goes the final whistle. And, well, credit to Doncaster Rovers. Very professional performance from them. But FC, good second half performance. Had their chances towards the end to pull another goal back. One obvious reflection, Roy, was the team on the field about an hour into the game maybe more effective than the lineup at the beginning?
Well, my feelings were, and I actually said it, that I was a bit surprised that they didn't have a recognised forward. I think that was a big factor. The other thing was the central midfield was wide open on occasions. So once FC made those couple of changes and moved Donoghue into midfield areas, I felt that they had a little bit more leg work, a little bit more nous as regards what to do with the ball when they had it at the feet, and didn't give the ball away as much, which was for me one of the telling points of the first half. What I would say again would be that FC in the second half of the second half showed that they're capable of performing. You also can't take away from the fact that Doncaster have played this game with none of the regular staff on the line. So that's all credit to their attitude as well, isn't it? You know. So
I remember, Roy, doing an NPL show with you years ago, and we were talking about the gap between professional and semi-pro. And you said, and I remember it well, back when we used to record it at the Magnet, it's second nature because they train every day. And it's not necessarily about the coaching staff. They get a message the day before, this is how you're going to play.
Yeah.
And that's how they played.
It's reactional. But the thing is, you see, like at the end of the day, you can always have that little bit of complacency come into your game. And they didn't allow it. They played as they should have played.
Well, we're the only ones here, so we're going to clap FC off.
Listen, they've done well. They've got to the first round of the FA Cup. They were never going to win it, so all credit to them.
Yeah, I think we've got to recognise it's an achievement to get this far.
Of course it is.
For an NPL
without
side.
A shadow of a doubt. So
mustn't forget that.
There's no disgrace at all. Well done, the lads.
Well, we had one Don evicted today, but possibly two Dons was one too many.
Yes, absolutely. How different might it have been with spectators, Roy?
I seriously don't think it would have affected the score. It might have affected the score line. That's what I would say.
I mean, you know this. When Linney would have scored, the lid would have gone off this place.
Of course it would, yeah.
And that would have kicked us on then for the second half, for the first half.
I still feel that the personnel weren't right.
This is why the question that James asked, it's a legitimate question, you know, was the starting selection wrong? Doncaster still had that lineup at the start. They were still going to be that good at the start, regardless of how we lined up.
Of course they would, yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, they might well have not had their coaching staff there, but week in and week out, they play in a certain manner.
Yes.
And they play with a certain confidence as well, you know, in the fact that the manager wants them to play a certain way. So, you know, you have to say hats off to them, and they did a number, didn't they?
We're not expecting Neil Reynolds to join us because he's got commitments over there in the main BBC.
I think we have to take it with both hands. We're not going to be here for another 5 years, are we? So, you know.
Sorry, that's not true.
Oh. When's the AGM, Viv? We can raise it then. But at this and there's going to be a post-match press conference, of all things, underneath the SMRE after the game. And unfortunately, we can't get our radio equipment under there. So we're off now for a month. We joined South Shields, but not Marine. Congratulations to Marine getting through
great
to the
stuff.
Second
well
round.
Done, lads.
Superb. Where do we go from here, right? Because I think we've taken the most out of this opportunity to be on tele. Apparently, we've come through very, very well this evening on the BBC, and that was just James Quinn. So what do we do from here, right? I mean, it's just... James said it's to the beach. It kind of isn't. Unfortunately, it's closed.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, it's important that... Neil and co, you know, keep in touch with the lads. They keep them ticking over individually, you know, because, I mean, I used to say quite a lot to the lads that it's not only what we do. They also have their individual responsibilities to make sure that the fitness levels stay up and their football abilities stay up there as well. So they can go out and do little bits and bobs here, but they've got to keep themselves ticking over. It's important that...
Can I just clarify that at this level the teams are not allowed to train as a bubble?
No, it's
individually, like they were during full lockdown.
Yeah, yeah. You get to go on the field and stuff like that, don't you, and run around.
But they should do that anyway, individually themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you should have a natural pride about your condition and, you know, your ability to compete against players when requested.
I would say that was one of the great things about... that long period, they did obviously stay fit, because when they came back as a group, you couldn't see people carrying weight and so on. And I think, you know, Neil Reynolds demands fitness, absolutely. So, and as indeed a Roy Sewell would do.
What's your take on how we return? Because obviously we've got this moving date, and it probably will move, but the Northern League said they're going to be back that first weekend in December, straight back on it. So if they're saying that, I'm imagining the Northern Premier League was saying that.
Should be no reason why you can't do it if you had that opportunity.
It's 4 weeks off, though. I mean, would you say you're going to be fit enough when you get back?
It's the same for everybody else, isn't it? And this is why I'm getting back to the fact that individually there's no reason why lads can't keep themselves ticking over. They might not be up to task as regards ring ready. You know, they'll have that little bit of ring
match
rust,
fit, yeah.
You know, but the fact is, like, you know, physically, they should keep themselves, you know, ticking over. End of.
It's match fitness versus fitness, isn't it? I mean, these players will be fit, but they'll have to work their way back in. I thought Morris looked very composed when he came on, because Morris, from what Neil has often said, is a confidence player, and he didn't seem to.
We said, didn't we, based on the Tuesday night game against Warrington, you'd start with Donoghue.
Donoghue, yeah, absolutely. You certainly have him in the team. The thing is, Simpson's had some good performances. You know,
you can only go off what they've done previously. Definitely.
I mean, Warrington, it was a great performance. So you understand it. I think the curiosity was the strike.
Different level, though.
This is the
totally
thing.
Different level.
We were saying at half time, Paul, weren't we? That if we were playing Warrington the way we were trying to pass the ball about in the first half, we would have smashed them. We're playing Doncaster. That's the trouble.
I thought when we had the ball, there were times when we looked well above Northern Premier League standard tonight. The difference between the two sides is when you've lost the ball. That's the difference tonight, I feel.
And we mentioned it. I mean, the four killer goals all happened in the first half. The deep running from midfield, we don't normally deal with... We get runs from midfield, obviously, and our offside trap. Managers know in the Northern Premier League how we play at the back. Yeah. But we're not used to the spring that far back that the midfielders were getting at.
Well, you say that, but if the further back, the more distance you've got to see them coming.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're in the position to actually spy that run coming, you shut that run off, you shut the door off. And we didn't do that. We allowed them to go right the way through us. And, you know, that's how it goes. But, you know, you've got to the first round of the FA Cup.
Mm.
That's an achievement in itself.
There's only three teams in the Northern Premier League. Only two in our division who actually got to this point.
No, that's great stuff, I tell you now. But, you know, my feelings are, like I say, you come up against a good, well-organised side, and they went out there and, you know, in the first half they did a number on us, didn't they?
Notwithstanding what you said about the deflected goals where they were on target, you need a bit of luck sometimes when you're underdog. Three deflected goals. Mm. There was an element of fortune.
Well, do you know what I'd say that on that one is, I don't believe so. I think they had three shots as well.
Yeah, but
if you don't shoot,
but obviously that's true. But obviously, three deflected goals is
that's where Ennis. I mean, Ennis had a shot down here, and it never touched anyone. But it was a shot, and it was a cross. But it could have gone anywhere.
But if you don't shoot, you don't score. Exactly. It doesn't matter who they come off. It could come off the post. It can come off their player. It can come off one of our players. If you don't shoot, you don't score.
We commentated an NFA Youth Cup match a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Paul?
Yeah.
And it was amazing. We were at Boundary Park. And it was amazing how many second balls, ricochets, Oldham picked up upon.
Yeah.
And it's not luck.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about deflections.
No. But again, Roy's right. If you shoot, it could go anywhere and
off anything.
But none of that mitigates against the point that I'm making. I agree with all that. But at the same time, if the deflection could go anywhere.
Of course it could,
They'd spawn, wickedly, of them.
But they were on target. All they did was they just went to another part of the target. All those goals, those deflections were on target. They were shot at goal.
But the keeper has a chance to save them if they're coming straight at him. If he's getting a deflection, it makes it much harder.
But if you don't take the shot, you don't score.
Well, yeah, but we're kind of going around in circles.
Of course we are.
But wrong, Roy.
Paul.
You're wrong. What do you know about football, Roy?
What in it, you two?
Yeah,
you coach? Hey, I'm going to speak to an expert. Paul.
I don't think we've been embarrassed tonight. I think we've put up a credible performance against a very good league side. And I think that the people who watched it in this country and around the world have probably been impressed by some of our play tonight.
And this is what I was saying before. BBC have been very complimentary about the setup here. They don't think of it as a non-league gap.
No,
no. And you know, Neil's there in the studio now, and he's been doing his post-match stuff.
He's probably jamming the pants off.
Exactly. And we said it on It'll Be Off earlier. You know, when you go in the tunnel now, it's like a museum.
Yeah.
And we're only 15 years old.
And you notice how the BBC exploited that.
Exactly.
And because it was there.
And you go in the dressing room and what's written on the wall, all the chants and stuff like that. And behind the goal there in the SMRE is all the banners.
It's a great sight tonight, isn't it, looking at that?
Tremendous. We've done well out of it.
And look at the well-disguised Dion Dublin walking down there.
Is anyone looking for a new house? Anyone? By the way, speaking of people who've done well out of this, James, you got a name check on the commentary tonight.
Did I?
Yeah, you did, yeah. They actually said...
What, from Roy?
Crime won't crack itself, didn't
they? They did not say that.
They did, yeah. So, well done, James. Well played.
They said, who's that sat with Sully? You know what?
Go on.
All credit to FC. They've come out. They've done the work. They've got to the first round, and in the second half they showed what they are capable of. It's a pity that it didn't happen in the first half, just to give themselves a bit of a fighting chance, you know, as regards the scoreline.
And Ben and I will remember Barrow when Paul was the 7-0 defeat.
That was
cascaded to a 7-0 defeat when it was 5-1 early in the second half. You did wonder, but there was a lot of good defending as well towards the end, which
I'd say two. For me, you know, the two best men of the back, of the 11 that was on the field, were two defenders.
Apart from the first goal, Dodd was pulled in, wasn't he, which gave the opportunity.
Yeah, but he made up for it in other ways. His heart and his endeavour and his willingness to, you know, rectify little errors. You know, I think them two did absolute quality.
Well, Neil, thanks for joining us. You know, at one stage of the early in the second half, it could look like it was going to get very, very messy. But how pleased were you with the way the side kept going and even threatened to pull goals back?
Really pleased. But before I talk about our side, I just want to congratulate Doncaster Rovers on an exceptional performance. You know, let's not forget they beat top of the league Lincoln last week. You know, 3-1, they're a fantastic side. And, you know, credit to them for bringing the full first team. You know, that shows us maximum respect. So I just want to, you know, obviously say well done and wish them all the best in the next round. In terms of my side, you know, I'm delighted. I think, you know, I've just been speaking to, sorry to name drop, but Mika Richards and Alex Scott, and they said how brave we were with the ball, how well we moved it, possession, we play really well. unfortunately, you know, when you make poor decisions or make mistakes, you can get punished, and we get back in at 2-1. We made a poor decision for the third. You know, Griff's tried to, don't know, play between the centre half and full-back instead of going out to Donoghue. And then Potts for the fourth one makes a bad decision and should have gone out to the full-back and didn't. And all of a sudden you're 4-1 down. We said to lads at half-time, you know, stay in the game, you know, and then you obviously you come out for the second half and deflected goal, it's 5-1. But credit has to go, enormous credit, because they didn't stop playing. They didn't switch off, but we carried on playing and pressing and probing, and Donoghue nearly scored and Fowler nearly scored. And, you know, I just said to him in the huddle there, listen, you've just played in front of how many people tonight? 2 million on BBC cameras, and you haven't disgraced yourself. You know, we haven't gone, if you will, long ball every single time. We've continued to try and play, and I've got to give him massive credit for that, because other teams could capitulate.
Do you have any regrets about not starting with one of the strikers?
No, because it worked. You know, we got the goal on the back of it. You know, we were really in the game, and we'd worked on it in training. And I've just talked to the management team. He said, you know, that causes a bit of a threat because Ennis dropped in the pocket. No, not at all. You know, when the game opens up, it's different. But you've got to try and stay in the game. But when you, well, kind of the first goal, you make a mistake, you don't track the run, and then the second one, you're playing offside and you go through. There was nothing wrong with the shape, and we saw off the goal. It was just individual mistakes tonight.
Yeah. So, in a way, not so much about the gulf between the two sides, more that players may. And do you think because of the occasion, with all due respect to the players?
I don't know. I mean, they don't make mistakes, do they? No. You know, the way they punch the ball into each other, the way they rotate, the way they go between the lines, they don't seem to make many mistakes. And, you know, at our level of football, you get punished for that mistake. And, you know, we've made two or three times. When you look back on it, you'll see, you know, I know for one, Griff will kick himself that he hasn't got out to Donoghue. And I know Potsy will kick himself. But, you know, when you surrender the ball in key areas against really good sides, they're going to hurt you.
So looking ahead, you've got a month now on the beach, metaphorically.
Yeah.
What will your message to the players be?
So they'll have a training programme like they would in close season. They'll still be doing all the work on the GTEC vest. They'll have to still do the urine samples, etc. to live, so we know they're looking after themselves. You know, we won't stop. There'll be weekly targets. And, you know, just said down there, I just hope that the league don't spring it up on us that we start on Saturday 5th of December and it hasn't given us any, you know, contact time with the lads. So I hope there's a bit of common sense there. But we'll just have to do what we do and hopefully, you know, when the lads do come back, we're on the back of a win against Warrington and on the back of, you know, playing in the FA Cup first round. And, you know, we'll go and do what we set out to do, and that's, you know, run close to the top of the league and maybe hopefully get out of this league.
OK, well, thanks very much. We won't keep you any longer because you've got a bit of a media tour going on and a press conference to come. Yeah. Thanks so much for giving us time. Congratulations to getting to the first round of the FA Cup. And we will see you in a month.
Great. Hopefully. Thank you, guys. Brilliant.
FC Live there from Saturday night. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club, and a big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.